بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Dear respected friends, elders, let us take our minds back to the theme of this year's Path to Piety conference. That what does Islam actually stand for? What is the true message of Islam? One answer for this we find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It so happened that in the latter part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just a short while before his demise, Allah Ta'ala made Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam come down in the form of a human being. The companions did not know this was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala made him come down, come into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him certain questions. Sahaba said, this person, he came into the gathering all of a sudden. We've never seen him before. So we came to the conclusion that he must be a musafir. He must be a traveler. But there is no dirt on his body. There is no dirt on his clothes. Dark black hair and his clothes are absolutely white, absolutely clean. So it does not look like he's come from a long journey. Anyway, he comes through the gathering, makes his way to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ He puts his knees in front of the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today he came, before he would come as a ustaz. Whenever he would come down with the revelation, he would come as a ustaz and teach the revelation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today he came down as a talibul ilm. Today he came down as a student to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah wanted to happen that because the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming to an end, before this, clear-cut certain explanations, certain fundamentals of our deen would come in front of the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and so that they can pass it on to us. So he came, and his first question, Mal Islam? What is our theme today? Mal Islam? What is Islam? Mal Islam? What does Islam actually stand for? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, like I said, giving one type of answer. He says, Al-Islamu an tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa tashhada anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa tuqima as-salah wa tu'tiya az-zakah wa tasuma Ramadan wa tahujja al-bayta man in istata'ata ilayhi sabila. He mentions the five pillars of Islam. And the first of these pillars being, my dear friends, the shahada, the bearing witness of ourselves, that we bear witness that there is none worthy of worship, there is no Lord besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is only one being worthy of worship, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of this belief, part of iman, is that we bear witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Unfortunately, and you may think that, you know, he's over-exaggerating. It's something simple, everybody knows this. But you can see on one side how slowly us youth, we are going further and further away from our religion. And what's not helping is that from the media and different forces we have present today, and they are trying their utmost to cut us off from our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. create doubts in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They make us believe, oh, he was a womanizer. They put certain questions in front of us, and because our iman is weak, our knowledge is extremely limited, very, very shallow, very, very small amount of knowledge, we're not able to answer these questions. And instead of, not just we don't answer these questions, but now doubts start creeping into our minds with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we must believe that he is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some believe that we take Allah as Lord. We believe in other prophets too, but we don't believe in Rasulullah. We don't believe in Yani Muhammad ibn Abdullah. We don't take him as a prophet. Some believe that, yes, we take him as a prophet, but we don't think he's the last prophet. He wasn't the final prophet. There was another prophet to come after him. Or there were other prophets to come after him. This is not the right belief we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is our belief, my dear friends, that khatmun nubuwa, that being, we believe that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the final prophet, to believe in the finality of the Prophet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to khatmun nubuwa, this is our aqeedah. If we don't believe in this, then according to us, we leave the fold of Islam. In one lengthy hadith, narrated by Hazrat Thawban radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, وَإِنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِي كَذَّابُونَ. A time will come in my ummah, and many, many great liars will come. A time will come in my ummah, where many, many great liars will come, كَذَّابُونَ يَزْعُمُ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهَ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ. Each and every single one of them will claim that he is a prophet. وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ وَلَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. But this is false. This is impossible. أَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. I am the seal of the prophets. When you seal something, nothing else can come after that. I am the seal of the prophets. I was the last link of the chain of prophethood. I was the last one. وَلَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. There will be no prophet after me. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مِنْ قَبْلِي. The example of myself and the example of the prophets that came before me, كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ, is like that person. He builds a beautiful house and he puts the best material inside this house. وَأَجْمَلَهُ, he makes it very, very beautiful. And now visitors are coming, tourists are coming, and they're looking at this house, they're viewing this house, and they go around the whole house and they're saying, how beautiful is this house? These windows are so beautiful. And look at the roof, and look at the doors, and look at this material he's used. Look at the furniture. Until they get to one corner and they realize that from the wall and all the bricks that are present, there is one brick missing. And they see this fault over here. They see this incompletion over here. There's one brick missing. And they say, you know, why hasn't this brick been placed over here? If only there was a brick placed over here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, because he was giving the example, he says, وَأَنَا اللَّبِنَةَ. I am that brick, وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ, and I am the seal of prophets. Yani, he gives the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending down the prophets as somebody completing a house. And there's only one brick left. So he says, Allah ta'ala sent many, many prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completing the guidance, completing the instructions to mankind. But there was one piece left, one brick left. وَأَنَا اللَّبِنَةَ. I am that brick, and I am the seal of the prophets. وَلَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. No Nabi will come after me. So we must believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the right aqeedah and the right beliefs. So first of all, I want to mention five different points with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make us good, perfect believers. So first, our aqeedah with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have just explained. Secondly, my dear friends, we learn from various ayat of the glorious Quran that you and I cannot be good believers. We cannot be in the true meaning of obedient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot claim to do the ita'at and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without fulfilling the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala, where he mentions and he orders us to obey Allah, he also orders us to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. That obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That whoever obeys Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will acquire the great success. And then Allah Ta'ala explains that وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his teachings in essence are actually informing us and teaching us to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah explains in the Quran that وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ, whoever obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in true meaning, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, he has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. He has made the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the obedience of his own self, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And my dear friends, ita'at means over here, ita'at means that, you know, we can say that when we have to do something, when he has ordered us, we must do something, then we must follow that out. If we don't, then we are not obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every do he has come with, we must carry it out. And every don't he has come with, we must refrain from it. And the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, this was a distinguishing factor in their lives, that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will order us to do without, like I mentioned yesterday and again, that regardless of the situation, we will carry this out. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. Abu Salama and Salama, they were living in Makkah Mukarrama when the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down for the hijrah. So Abu Salama, obviously at one time he's leaving his business behind, he's leaving his belongings behind, but he wants to migrate, him, his wife and his child. And just as they're about to migrate, because it wasn't easy for them, it wasn't an easy ride, my dear friends. Ajib, and just mind-boggling sacrifices these people had to bear and put up with so that deen could reach you and I today. Just one example, Abu Salama at the time of Hijrah, he says, I am just about to migrate. My family are saying no, her family are saying no. And all of a sudden her family come and they snatch her away from me and they say, you can go wherever you want, Abu Salama, but our daughter, she isn't going to come with you. She isn't going to come with you. And then he says that my family members came and they separated my child from me as well. Here we have this person. On one side, his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ordering the believers to migrate to Medina Munawwara. And he wants to do the ita'at of Rasulullah. He wants to obey Rasulullah. He does not want to disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other side, he has sacrificed everything. Just his wife and his child remain with him. And even then, Allahu Akbar, he is caused to separate from his wife, separate from his child, and alone he makes his way to Makkah, alone he makes his way to Medina Munawwara. But they gave this sacrifice because they wanted to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uqba ibn Amir, who later on became a Muslim, when he was sent as a spy to go and spy on the believers, when he returned to his people, he said to them that لَقَدْ جِئْتُ كِسْرَى فِي مُلْكِهِ وَقَيْسَرَ فِي مُلْكِهِ وَالنَّجَاشِيَّ فِي مُلْكِهِ. He says, I've traveled the world. I've seen the emperors of Rome and Persia. I've seen the emperor of Abyssinia. And I've seen the way their people conduct with them. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا وَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يُعَظِّمُهُ أَصْحَابُهُ مَا يُعَظِّمُ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That I have seen how their followers would be obedient to their leaders. But never have I seen in my life the type of obedience the companions of this person, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way his companions obey him. He says, these people have some ajeeb love. Again, mind-boggling love. Uncomprehendable love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, he is performing wuzu, and these people do not let a single drop from the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fall onto the floor. So he's doing wuzu and they fight for the remains of his wuzu. He cleans his nose. Every sahabi fights for that material that comes out of the nose of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He takes it and he wipes it over his whole body. He says he orders something, every companion races one another, competes with one another to fulfill the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I have never seen a group of people who obey their leader the way I have seen these companions obey their leader Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they tried, exerted every effort to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they exerted every effort to refrain from the disobedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the opening verses of Surah Al-Hujurat were revealed, and from these verses Allah Ta'ala said that, O believers, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي, that do not raise your voices in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One companion who, if I remember correctly, he was slightly deaf, Shammas bin Qais radiallahu anhu. He was slightly deaf. And if you've seen somebody who's slightly deaf, because when we talk, we're listening to ourselves at the same time, and that's how we control our volume of our voice. But if somebody's deaf, he's thinking that the opposite person can't hear me because I can't hear myself. So naturally, this person has to speak louder. When this verse came down, and Allah Ta'ala also warned at that time as well, that if you were to do something like this, if you were to disrespect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and tahbata a'malukum, all these a'mal you have done in the past, they will all go to waste. You will lose all of these good deeds you have done in the past. So this companion, Allahu Akbar, when he hears this, the revelation has come down, and he realizes that I am somebody who, not purposely, but I am somebody who accidentally raises my voice in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came and he asked forgiveness from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, if this is me that this verse is informing, saying this about, then please forgive me, because I don't want it to be that all my a'mal go to waste. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him comfort, and they said that, don't worry, Shammas bin Qais, it's not about you. At that time, when the same verse came down, Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma, Sayyiduna Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said that, from today, we will only whisper to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because we're scared that we may end up disobeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Quran has prohibited us from doing so. So every effort was exerted to obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every effort was made to refrain from the disobedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's another point and another factor we must keep in mind when we think about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Along with the correct belief, we must have the ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must have the ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thirdly, my dear friends, we must have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Himself, he says that, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you can become complete believers. لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you can become complete believers until I become more beloved to him than his own parents, than his own children, and than every single person around him. Until he does not feel more love in his heart for me than he feels for other people. And this love initially starts off as intellectual love. And when you slowly learn more about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it turns into emotional love. One is intellectual love, one is emotional love. So it starts off as intellectual love, that because I am a believer, I must believe in him and I must love him. But I don't really always feel that love inside my heart. But slowly, when you will connect yourselves more to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then your emotions will also explain to you and prove to you that you love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. Umar radiallahu anhu, once he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, Ya Rasulullah, I have immense love for you. I have immense love for you. I have immense admiration for you. But I still feel that when it comes to the crunch, I love myself more than yourself. I still feel that I experience more love for myself than I feel than I love you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Umar radiallahu anhu that, "Oh Umar, not yet. Oh Umar, not yet. Yani your iman has not been complete yet." So then Umar radiallahu anhu thought to himself. He thought to himself, and then he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, "Actually, I've thought about it properly. And I've come to this conclusion that I love you more than my parents, more than my children, more than my family. And now I'm saying as well that I love you more than I love my own self as well." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Al-an ya Umar. Al-an ya Umar," that now, O Umar ibn al-Khattab, your love for me has become perfect. Your love for me has become perfect. So we must love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we will love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then our next point, which is ittiba, and following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this will become simple for us. We see the different sacrifices the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in gave for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one of the biggest elements for it to be possible for a human being to give so much sacrifice for one person and his cause and the religion and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the element of love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Allah ta'ala, would come first before anything. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for him would come after Allah ta'ala, but before anybody else. He was the priority on their list. If we want to know that how much love did the companions have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we want to know, then Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib Hafizahullah, he explains that if it was so to happen that just before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in would have been gathered and Allah ta'ala would have said to them that, "Look, I am about to extract the soul of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his demise is about to take place, but I have a proposal for you." Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib explains that the Sahaba loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that just prior to the death of Rasulullah and the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the Sahaba were asked and proposed by Allah Ta'ala that, "If you agree, if every single one of you are ready to sacrifice their lives, then I will extend the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by 1 second. Each one of you, approximately 124,000 in number, if each one of you are ready to sacrifice your lives, that I take away your life, and in return, I extend the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by 1 second." Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib says that every single companion would have been ready to do so. Every single companion would have been ready to sacrifice their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear friends, not just the companions, not just human beings, animals, trees, and plants, and rocks, they also fell in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why when, you see, initially Rasul, when he would lead the Jumu'ah prayer and when he would give the khutbah, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to lean on a small tree trunk. He used to lean on a small tree trunk. But when this trunk was replaced and another minbar was made for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the khutbah was being given, the companions could hear some sort of crying. Where was this crying coming from? The crying was coming from this tree, and it cried to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every Friday, and whenever you would give a sermon, then I would be fortunate for you to put your hand on myself. I was fortunate to receive your hand on myself, and now from today I will be deprived. The Sahaba said the tree was crying like how a small baby cries in front of the mother. My dear friends, the trees felt this extreme love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam calmed this tree down until this tree finally quieted down. So we see, my dear friends, that the companions had love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but even the creation of Allah Ta'ala around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, non-humans, they also had love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he would go by, rocks would give salam to him as well. Trees would give salam to him as well. Animals would speak in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all out of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I was saying five, but I just looked properly. Four things I wanted to share with you. From them we have said, my dear friends, that our belief with regards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be correct. Secondly, we must obey and bring the ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Just another incident comes to mind. I shared it with some of the youngsters in the gym today as well, that there was one companion by the name of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And Usama bin Zayd was a son of a slave, because Zayd bin Haritha was a slave given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even him, let's start with Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. When a time came that his parents came looking for him, the parents of Zayd bin Haritha came looking for Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu. And they finally found him. So Rasulullah sallallahu, and they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, fine, I am ready to give him away. We give him the choice. We give your son the choice. If he wants to come back with you, I am happy. I give permission. You can take him away. And if he wants, then he can stay with me as well. Imagine how much love he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to his parents that, you know what? I'd rather remain with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Usama bin Zayd, his father was a slave. His mother was also a slave as well. His mother was Umm Ayman, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have a lot of love for her as well. If you have read the seerah, many of the youngsters have heard this name as well. When the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amina, when she passed away at a place called Abwa, it was Ayman that was also on that suffer as well, and she took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back home to Makkah Mukarramah. And Ayman, he used to say that, hiya ummi ba'da ummi. Hiya ummi ba'da ummi, that she is my mother after my mother. After my mother is Ayman. So, and Ayman and Zayd bin Haritha, both of these two got married. And Zayd bin Haritha, the father of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, Zayd bin Haritha, the only companion whose name is explicitly and openly mentioned in the glorious Quran is Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. His name is openly mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran. Imagine his maqam. Imagine his status. So, it was 6 years before Hijrah. And you know, before Hijrah, year after year, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being persecuted, terrorized. You know, sometimes I think that the media and, again, whatever force is behind this, every single word they label us Muslims and Islam with, I think to themselves that they only need to read the tariq when Rasulullah and the history when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah Mukarramah. They call us terrorists. There was nobody who terrorized anyone else than the way the Quraysh terrorized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way the Makkans terrorized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They call us persecutors. Look at the way they persecuted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that we insult others. Look at the way they insulted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I was saying he was going through all sorts of difficulties. But when one morning somebody came with the news to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ayman and Zayd bin Haritha, they have given birth to a beautiful child. It was a happy moment. One of the happiest moments in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions used to call Usama bin Zayd Hibbur Rasul, Wabnu Hibbur Rasul. He is the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the son of the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the son Usama bin Zayd was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my dear friends, that we know the grandson, the son of Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhuma. Sayyiduna Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhuma. Their son Hussein radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had immense love for him. And Look at the difference. Hussein radiallahu anhu was very similar in looks to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So imagine how handsome and how smart and how beautiful this young child was. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would lift him up on his shoulder as well. And on the other side, Usama bin Zayn looked very similar to his mother who was a Habshi. Umm Ayman was a Habshi. Usama was dark in complex. He wasn't so handsome, but he received that same treatment from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because never did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let color become a barrier. He would never differentiate on the basis of color, on the basis of culture, on the basis of origin, that, oh, he is from Ethiopia, so he doesn't deserve that respect. Or he is light in color, or he is red in color, he's Arab, so he deserves respect. But he's a non-Arab, he doesn't deserve this respect. He doesn't deserve this maqam. No, my dear friends. And inshallah, we will learn more this evening as well from our respected Sheikh. So I was saying that just as he would put Hussein radiallahu anhu on one shoulder, he would put Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu on another shoulder. Once, near the door frame, Usama bin Zayd, he hurt himself and his face was wounded and he started to bleed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha that, you know, look to Usama bin Zayd and clear the wound and help him and give him some comfort. For some reason, Aisha radiallahu anha was reluctant. She was reluctant to approach Usama bin Zayd at that time. My dear friends, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he went to Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu and he wiped the blood off his face and he cleaned the wound and he gave him comfort. Look at the love Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for him. And one time when Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu, who hadn't yet accepted Islam, he gifted some clothes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for a certain reason, he said that I won't accept this clothes from you as a gift, but I'll buy it from you. He buys it from Hakim bin Hizam, not because he wanted it. He bought it from Hakim bin Hizam, and who later on became radiallahu anhu. He wore this cloth one time, and then he said to Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu that here this garment is for you. He wore it once just to please Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd would run around in the streets of Medina Munawwara and he would take pride and boast with his contemporaries and he would say that, look, I am wearing the garment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the main point we want to come to. Look at these words, ita'at. Look at the words hub, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the word ittiba, I want to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That now when they migrate to Medina Munawwara, the time for Uhud comes, but Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was still young. 11, 12, 13 years old, he was still young. But he didn't let that become an excuse for him. He said, I may be young and I know I may be rejected, but let me try. Let me try because I want to do ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to help in his cause. So as the lineup was taking place, Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu also comes to the lineup. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accepted a few people. And from the ones he rejected Usama bin Zayd, that you are too young to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the zeal for ita'at, my dear friends, the zeal to help and support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so much that this young boy, 11, 12 year old boy, he is returning back to his home and he's crying profusely. Tears are rolling down from his eyes because he wanted to participate. Next chance he gets is when the expedition of the Khandaq took place. The Ahzab took place, the trenches. This time, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was 15 years old. 15 years old, and he knew that the chances are very high that I'll be rejected again. But look, the zeal for ita'at was such that when the lineup is taking place, Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, he hides behind certain companions. He hides behind certain companions, and then he tiptoes, so he looks a bit taller. He tiptoes, and when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at him, he accepts him that you can go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the zeal for ita'at. Look at the zeal for ita'at. And then he goes in the Khandaq as well. And then in Hunayn. In Hunayn, maybe he is what, 17, 18 now at the time of Hunayn. And in Hunayn, there was a certain part in that expedition that we received some sort of defeat. And what happened was, many companions went away from the battlefield. And only a few companions stayed, shielding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and protecting the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From these companions was Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Next expedition comes, and in this expedition he loses his father in this expedition as well. He loses his father, but that does not become a barrier. He was strong. Again, this ita'at was there, that we have come out in the path of Allah. We have to do what we have to do. This companion, he carries on doing. In the next expedition, I can't recall the name correctly, but in the next expedition was such that many great companions passed away in that battle. And each one, the Amir would be given the flag, but each time each Amir was being wounded, and he would become a martyr. But Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu would not stop. So because of this ita'at for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at other occasions because of the way he showed love to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the status Allah Ta'ala grants him. In the 11th year of Hijri, and this is the year when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away. So just before his demise, when he was well, he ordered that now we need to send a delegation and an expedition to Rome. We need to send an expedition in that direction. And in this army, he puts the likes of Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, great, great companions. And on the other side, we have this young man. We have this young man, maybe just about reached 20 or just a bit higher than 20. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd the Amir. The Amir for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Amir of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He makes him the Amir. But what happens at that time is, then as they were about to leave, they realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become extremely unwell. So they stayed behind, and that illness led to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine how sad it must have been and how difficult it must have been for Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Someone who stayed so close with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his whole life. Someone who stayed so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his whole life. He says that now in that room where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to pass away, I finally enter into that room. I just can't imagine how difficult it must have been for him. How much he had to control his emotions. So he says, I went there and I realized that Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not talking. But look at the maqam Allah gave Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. He says that not just once, فَجَعَلَ يَرْفَعُ يَدَيْهِ. He started to lift up his hands, and then he would lift up his hands a little high, and then he would put them back on me. And then he would lift up his hands a bit high, and then he would put them back on me. Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd says that just before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the world, I was fortunate enough to get his du'as on his deathbed. I got his du'as on his deathbed. So this, Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Now, when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Some Ansari companions go to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and they say that, you know, just before the demise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent this expedition, or he was about to send them to Rome. So, why don't you, because Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu obviously was influential. So they didn't have this inside of them to go to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu directly. So they went to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So they said, why don't you talk to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and say that let's delay this delegation. Let's not send these people out now. After a while we will do this when time is much better. But if he does not take your mashwara on board, and he says that no, this is the time that we will dispatch this expedition. So explain to him that look, there are much more people older than Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd. Tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that make somebody else the Amir. Make somebody else the Amir. Look in the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That again, ita'at for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was lying back, As soon as he heard these words from Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he jumped up straight away and angrily, and he held on to the beard of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he says, "How can I cancel the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd the Amin, then how can I take this imarat and this leadership away from him? Come what may, no matter what happens, Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu will remain the Amin." And that's what happened. And again, look at the maqam and the reward Allah Ta'ala gave Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, that when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was now, in those days what would happen whenever any the Amir would dispatch anybody, then he would take them to the border. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he sees that Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu is on the conveyance. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu being the Khalifa, Usama bin Zayd said that, "How can this be possible? The Amirul Mu'mineen is next to me. How can it be possible that I let Amirul Mu'mineen walk on the floor whilst I am riding?" So he says to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that this is not possible. I must get down and you ride. What does Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu say? "Wallahi la tanzilanna wa wallahi la arkabanna." No way. It's impossible. By Allah, no, am I going to mount this conveyance, nor are you going to dismount this conveyance. You will remain like this. And Amirul Mu'mineen gives this honor to Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And then they go out, and the Mu'arrikheen say, the Sahaba would say as well, that never in any delegation where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wasn't present, have we ever been so successful. And has the Muslim army remained so safe, remained untouched, as we remain as safe and as untouched as we did in the leadership of Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. A young man, 22, 23 years old, my dear friends. And at one time, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he became the Amir, and he would stipulate portions from the Baytul Mal, wazifa, from the welfare. Then Abdullah, he gave a bigger portion to Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu than his own son. So his son complained to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said that why are you giving him a greater portion when you were closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than his father? You were closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than his father. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu reprimanded his son, and he said that verily his father was closer and more beloved. He was more beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than your father, and verily he himself was more beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than you. This is why I have made this decision. But look at the ita'at, look at the love that we see for in the life of Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, in this incident, the ita'at of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He, my dear friends, he didn't just have ita'at. He went out of his way. It wasn't just whatever I must do, then I must do. And whatever I must refrain from, I must refrain from. No, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went out of his way to serve and support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So much so, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say that whoever has done any sort of goodness to me in this world, look at this statement. Whoever has done any sort of goodness to me in this world, then فَقَدْ كَافَيْنَاهُ, we have repaid him, except for Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I do not have the means to repay Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala will repay him tomorrow on the Day of Judgment for me. So look at this ita'at, the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So again, one more time before we finish and go to the main and the next word, and you can say it's the main one as well. One is belief for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the right belief, the right aqidah. Secondly, the ita'at, being obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My dear friends, we are lacking in this regard greatly. We disobey Allah, we disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The poet, he says, and it's a very famous piece of poetry, that ta'sil habiba wa anta taz'umu hubbahu hadha la'amri fil fi'ali ajibu law kana hubbuka sadiqan la'ata'tahu innal muhibba liman yuhibbu muti'u. What does he say? He says that you, on one side, you disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You don't do the things that he has ordered you to do. You don't refrain from those things that he has told you to refrain from, he has ordered you to refrain from. What he has made haram for you, you are making it halal for yourself. What he has made halal for you, you are taking it as haram. You are in contradictory to the life of and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But on the other side, there is nobody more than you who is claiming that I love him. Oh, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is so beloved to me, and I would do anything for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one side, there is all this lip service. It's only lip service. Because on the other side, when it comes to the crunch with your actions, you can't prove this. He says that this is something ajeeb. The poet says this is something strange. I've never seen something like this in my life. He says, if your love for him was true, if you were truthful in your claim, if your love for him was true, then most definitely you would have obeyed him. Because this is a principle of life. That when somebody loves the opposite person, when somebody loves the opposite party, then they are obedient to them. So ita'at is necessary, my dear friends. And we need to build love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu that, Ya Bunay, O my child, وَإِنْ قَدَرْتَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُصْبِحَ وَتُمْسِيَ وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ فَفْعَلْ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. He says that, O my young child, if you are able to wake up in the morning and go to sleep in the evening, you start your day and you end your day in such a way that you have no ill feelings for anybody. You have no hate for anybody in your heart. You have no jealousy for anybody in your heart. You have no sense of revenge for anybody in your heart. You have a clean heart when you wake up in the morning, and things may happen during the day, but before you go to sleep, you forgive everybody and you cleanse your heart before that. If you are able to do this, then make sure you definitely do this. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. Because this is my way of life. This is what I do. This is my way of life. And the fact is, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. What is the sign for love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, he who loves my sunnah is a proof that he loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And whoever loves me, then he will be with me in Jannah. He'll be together with me in Jannah. So love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how will this love come? How will this love come? A very great sheikh who just passed away recently, Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say, عشق رسول کی بنیاد ہی اتباع رسول ہے, اتباع سنت ہے. عشق رسول کی بنیاد ہی اتباع سنت ہے. That the foundation of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that you copy and you implement his sunnah and you bring his sunnah into your lives. Sunnah, my dear friends, I only have 5 minutes, so I will try to bring as much as I can inshallah. Sunnah, my respected Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Saleem Dorat Sahib Hafizahullah, he explains that now sunnah, we have just taken it to be a certain practices. Somebody thinks that, oh, sunnah is miswak. And look, I'm doing the miswak, so I'm following the sunnah. Oh, sunnah is, you know, I wear a jubba like this, or I wear an Islamic dress like this, and I wear a topi, look, I'm following the sunnah. Oh, sunnah is when I enter the washroom, I enter with my left foot. When I leave, I enter with my right foot. When I come into the masjid, I enter with my right foot. When I leave, I enter with my left foot. He says that today we have taken sunnah to be certain practices, and that's it. Whereas, my dear friends, sunnah is the whole way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in his short lifespan, he has taught us every single thing that will help us in our lives. He has set down that model and that example for us. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Most definitely for you, O believers, in the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the perfect example. Why, my dear friends, do we take this celebrity as our role model, and this footballer as our role model, and this basketball player as our role model, and this actor as our role model, and this singer as our role model? You know, we run a madrasa as well, alhamdulillah. So when we realize that these 2-3 children have come with a new hairstyle, we understand straight away that some actor in some film, or some singer in some song, or some footballer has changed his hairstyle. That's why our youngsters want to be like him as well. Two free people are wearing the same jacket. Definitely they've seen this in a film somewhere, in a song somewhere, on a footballer somewhere, so they want to be like him. But my dear friends, let me just explain to you, this is not fashion. This is not fashion. This is something that gets some temporary attention and then it dies down again. If that certain hairstyle was the fashion, why is it 2 months later you want to change your hairstyle now? So has the fashion changed all of a sudden? My dear friends, fashion is that what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind 1430 years ago, my dear friends, and that fashion will remain till the time of judgment. That fashion is the perfect fashion. Why? Who has given him that award? Allah Ta'ala has given him the award. That your fashion, your way of life, it is the best way. Your sunnah, your way of life, it is the best way. Sunnah, my dear friends, the inner to be pure, the inner akhlaq to come inside, this is part of sunnah as well. The outer akhlaq to come inside, this is part of sunnah as well. It is part of sunnah, and we have been taught in the sunnah how to nurture our children, how to do business, how to go to work, how to deal with Muslims, how to deal with non-Muslims. Every single page and every single scenario in our life, we will find the example and the answer for it in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ittiba is necessary, my dear friends. One step further than ita'at. That we're not just doing what we have to do, but we're going out of our way to bring every single part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Time does not permit, my dear friends. Let me just share one, two examples with you. I've heard many a times from my ustad that Hazrat Shaykh Mulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. Many of you have heard his name, my dear friends, that when he became old, he was in Medina Munawwara and they were on their way to Jumu'ah. And as you know, over there when you want to go for Jumu'ah, you have to leave a few hours early. You have to leave a few hours early, and if you're slightly late, then you won't get a place inside. And in those days, masjid was much smaller as well. You won't get a place inside. So he sat down on the wheelchair. Obviously, he's got ready, the khuddam, they got him ready. As he's making his way to the masjid, his eyes fall on his jubba, and he realizes that the jubba is of a longer length than the sunnah length. The sunnah length for the garment is between the ankles and the knees, and my jubba is much more longer. So immediately he says, take me back to the room, take me back to the hotel, take me back. Wherever he was staying. So the khuddam thought, maybe Shaykh needs to answer the call of nature. Maybe he needs to vomit or something. Maybe something has happened to him, he needs to go back. They were really worried. When he got back to the room, he said, make me wear the same jubba I was wearing yesterday. Why? Because this jubba is not in accordance to the sunnah of my beloved Habib Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last example, my dear friends. It's relevant for us today. Living in the West, we feel shy. Oh, how can I grow a beard? Because when I go to work, I have non-Muslims. What will they say about me? How will they react when I see me? Oh, you know, I can't, this sunnah, this certain sunnah, I can't adopt. And I know my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, but I can't really copy this. We feel shy to do this in front of others, my dear friends. Just take this one example. When Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu went into the court of Kisra, and Kisra entertained them, and he arranged a meal for them, he arranged a feast for them. And Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu was with another companion. And as they were eating, one morsel fell down on the floor. One morsel fell down from the floor, and the sunnah is when a morsel falls down, you must pick it up, clean it, and you eat it. So as Sayyidina Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu kneeled down to pick this morsel up, his companion nudged him, and he said, what are you doing? These people will laugh at us. These people will laugh at us. And he is thinking in like this, that laugh at us? This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his answer? أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاؤُلَاءِ الْحُمَقَاءِ. Shall I leave the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for these ignorant people? These people who have no knowledge of our Prophet? Just to please them? Just to save myself from humiliation in their eyes? Can I sacrifice the sunnah of my beloved Habib Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is the spirit we need to inculcate as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us true ita'at, true ittiba, true hub and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah ta'ala preserve our aqeedah and belief that we have for our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin.